Good morning, everyone. I bring you greetings from New Orleans, and I'd like to take this time, first of all, to acknowledge my colleagues, if they could stand, Dr. Douglas Cross, Dr. Evangeline Franklin, Dr. Musanda Muvula. And we also have our state representatives here as well, Dr. Takesha Davis and Ms. Avis Gray. We're very excited about this. I have no disclosures to the relationships that were mentioned before. So, this discussion will focus upon New Orleans evacuation imperatives, the barriers to evacuation, city-assisted evacuation plan, or CAEP, identification, registration, and pre-triage of vulnerable populations, after-action review, and corrective action plans, and will not focus on emergency preparedness and management, infrastructures in depth, negotiation of relationships required for execution of the CAEP, sheltering positives and negatives, and evacuation return considerations. Why we must prepare is like asking why we must evacuate. New Orleans gets affected, brushed or hit every 73 years. So you see the different hurricanes that have been hit and misses. This slide shows the number of hurricanes per 100 years, and it's taken from the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administrative Review. Okay. I would like to move forward. It's not moving forward. Okay. Basically, our city is a bowl. It's high on the sides because of the levees and low in the middle. The red line that you see here measures the mean sea level established by the National Geographic Survey. So we're talking about an area here from A to B of the city of New Orleans ground elevation map. So if you had something like this coming your way, as we did with Hurricane Katrina, okay, there were many persons that were missing. Many persons lost their lives, over 1,800 individuals. And Katrina was considered a Category 5 storm. These are just some pictures of Hurricane Katrina, which will constantly be on the minds of persons that were in that effort. And you see how the littlest of those helped the oldest, which is very compassionate. Little persons are also considered as well, and also their pets. The pets are very essential in your recovery efforts as to, you know, you have to plan for pets as well. And here you see Dr. Juliet Saucy and some of her assistants who assisted a young woman, an older woman, to safety and using all means necessary, basically, and the same here as well. And this is a rooftop experience like no other, that you don't want to have, okay? Okay, and this is an airlift transport. Persons on the bridge in New Orleans after Katrina. And this is a gentleman from the disaster medical assistance team from California helping someone at the Union Passenger Terminal. You can see the distress on our residents' faces. This is one of the shelters. And you can decide whether you're going to be planning ahead of time or after time, but you know that you have to plan when you consider the enormity of the effort and also consider the number of people that we're servicing, okay? So this diagram shows the extent of flooding. And you must remember that on a good day, the city of New Orleans system can drain 1 inch in the first hour and 0.5 inches thereafter. Again, this is also a map of how long the water set, and some over 30 days. Okay, the Washington Post did a study. A lot of persons asked, why did you stay in New Orleans? And these were reports given by persons who lived in the shelters, and so these are the questions given from them. So before the hurricane hit, did you yourself hear that an order to evacuate had been given? 73% said they heard it, 25% said they didn't. But we also understand, too, that you need to also consider your vulnerable populations as far as your deaf community. So we did things in this effort to include more of communication for all populations. Okay? Again, for each, tell me what's the reason why you stayed personally. And here you see the list of different reasons why persons stayed. Okay? Looking back, do you think you could have found a way to leave before the storm hit, or was there no way for you to leave? 56% said they could have. 42% said there was no way to leave. And some people didn't know. But it goes back to what the efforts were. Here is a map of where all of our citizens went, all over the United States. So at this time, we want to thank all of those persons who received our citizens. You know, thank you very much for that. Okay, types of evacuation. You could self-evacuate, persons who had resources. Assisted evacuation were private. And assisted evacuation public, this is where we came in. Persons who had no resources, destination and ease of exit had to be created. Public resources, local, state, and federal level, and we had need responsible caregivers from all fields. Lessons learned from Katrina. We'd have to have a mandatory evacuation for a Category 3 storm or higher. We must convince our citizens that you can't wait until the last minute, which can be a little bit difficult sometimes. And you got to make a plan with the following assumptions: that you're going to have to evacuate 25,000 or better citizens. And you have to consider their pets, because their pets are their families, okay? All right? And you need to make sure that you have a regional and distinct, distant collaboration for coordinated efforts. This shows relationship of the National Incident Management System and a National Response Framework. And this is important because if you don't follow this plan, you don't have any recovery funds to make this effort possible. So you have to consider that as well. Okay. Eligibility for assisted evacuation of the estimated 20,000 residents without ability to get to destination, they had no reliable car, or they didn't have any gas, or couldn't maintain the car. They couldn't they couldn't afford the cost of food and lodging, and many, you have to consider, were traveling with their families, so you have to consider the hotel costs and those types of things as well. All right. Working through or retooling the plan, finding the target populations, and your target populations are your vulnerable populations. Then you have to also consider that over the long haul, your caregivers are going to be your vulnerable population as well. You know, how are they managing the storm? You know, that's very, very important, because they have to care for others. All right. This map shows the poverty. Okay, and if you think about the previous map where most of the flooding was, you also see where your highest degree of poverty was. So poverty-stricken areas, persons who didn't graduate from high school is in that, this group as well, low graduation levels, low home ownership levels, and female heads of households. Okay? Same type of map. Okay. So working through the plan for citizens who need medical resources, questionable, 5,000 people will need medical resources with an expected 50-50 split of family groups, and people with health problems that can easily deteriorate in a controlled environment. This is very important to note, because you may see them at the train station and they look okay, and then as the storm progresses, they're getting progressively worse. So you need somebody to keep their pulse on what's going on with those individuals and how they're managing. It's very important. And your senior population, because a lot of times we have to be very careful with our seniors. They take a little bit longer to process things, and you have to get over the fear and movement. And a lot of our residents stayed because they had elderly parents. And if the parents didn't leave, then they didn't leave either. So you can see where the risk was. Okay, destinations, shelters, medical facilities, intake assessment and assignments. We had a 311 call center where most of our calls came in. And as the calls came in, they were separated for those persons who had medical challenges. And then the city health department began calling those persons and getting pre-assessments. What's going on? What medications are you on? Those types of things to make sure that we knew what was going on with our clients and sort of anticipate their needs coming in. All right, this map shows that there are very limited routes outside of New Orleans, okay? So you have to really evacuate north, west, or east. And at a certain point, you're going to go into counterflow. So it really gets a bit, you know, it's very important to plan. Now, this is important. This is our city-assisted evacuation tool. And if you see here, basically, is where we start leaning forward. And at that time, you're already expending like about $6 million to get started. Okay, and then we only have 6 hours to make ready what we're going to do. Okay, so the plan is launched. And then you notice here, as we start to execute the plan, that the state comes into place. I'm really happy that our state persons are here. Okay, so say state phase one, evacuation of areas outside of any levee protection. Phase two, evacuation of areas north of Intercoastal Canal and southwest of Interstate 10 and Mississippi River. And state phase three, evacuation of areas north and east of the Mississippi River and south of Interstate 12. State implements counterflow. Mayor orders mandatory evacuation. So at 30 hours out, you might have your last bus leaving. You have where we're starting to phase down the program, so making sure that everybody is safe. Okay, this is the number of pickup locations. There were 17 pickup locations that we had for this evacuation. And this shows a little bit better where they were in relationship to the Union Passenger Terminal, and the Superdome is somewhere in over here. But we don't have any shelters in place anymore. Okay, so this is more of a pictorial of what we just said our city-assisted evacuation plan was, okay? Different forms of transport, buses, ambulance, okay, Union Passenger Terminal, Evacuee Processing Center. A little quick view of how all these sort of came into play. Okay?
Is that pre-hurricane?
Yes. Okay. 311, need medical resource pre-assessment, counseling and pre-assessment, pre-assignment, sorry, to transport categories. You want to determine your transportation needs, review evacuation and re-entry procedures, ascertain reasons for change of need for evacuation assistance, look at resolve your transportation issues, death of mobility disabled individuals, who the focal point of the transportation decision. So pre-assessment is definitely important when you're talking about triaging our citizens. Again, the other thing that we did at the train station, everybody got an armband based on what was going on with that client. Okay, with the white armband, people that do not meet any of the following criteria, these are your well individuals, but just need to get out of the city. Blue, people over 65 who could take one caregiver with them, dependent spouse per senior. Green was self-manageable, but they may have had some type of health condition, renal failure, diabetic, etc. Category A, need medical resources, required assistance, they were bedridden, wheelchair, ventilators, mentally ill, homeless, and they were yellow. And red, critical condition, acute psychotics, acute detox, exacerbations of categories B. Again, another pictorial as to the types of transport related to the armbands. Now this one is very important. This is the C-130, and you can imagine how the persons are, if they were really critical, were in there, and the last picture at the bottom shows that. Okay, Hurricane Gustav evacuation. You notice the countenance of these persons' faces. They're a lot more planned. They're not as stressed as the other persons. And here you see our intake individuals taking them in. You see a little bit better countenance on the person's faces. And it wants to just display that we are a caring community. We care for our citizens, and we're trying to do a better job at caring for ourselves. This is at the train station. Here we have our Councilwoman Morrell, our mayor, C. Ray Nagin, and our health director, Dr. Kevin Stevens. Dr. Cross is in the audience. Dr. Mavulis is our team. Mr. Robert Folkery and his evacuees. We had a lot of volunteers, so the volunteerism is very, very important. And if you engage them early enough, then you can really have a successful effort. Again, Lieutenant Colonel Tom McNelzy and Colonel Jerry Sneed. Dr. Evangeline Franklin is in this video over here, and she's in the EOC observing the storm. Okay, so 2006, first year after disaster, we're basically gathering data based on the population, persons who needed city assisted evacuation plan, and the persons that needed medical resources. 2007, again gathering data, and you notice that as the population increased, maybe or maybe not, persons may respond to needing medical resources. The devastation that we experienced, even though this was with Gustav, a lot of folks did not call 311 until the latter end. So as a result, Colonel Sneed could not really call on all the resources that he needed because they were looking at what he actually had. You know, how many people had actually called, and they were basing the resources on that. But near the end, 2 days in, we had 7,000 calls on hand. 2 days in to evacuating, 17,000 people called at one time. And so just imagine trying to divert calls, repeated calls, those types of things happened to us. But we managed, and we got the folks out. Again, 2008, hired full-time RIN, to perform assessments on calling callers requesting assistance. And you notice as the population goes up again, you had more persons who needed medical resources. And we were calling individuals, we were sending persons letters who did not respond by phone. So you can imagine the amount. And then, guys, please remember your senior populations, they're lonely, they want to talk, they can't find their medicine. So you really have to be caring enough. And then they really, really want to know if you're going to pick them up. So just think about that when you're picking, when you're on the phone. You know, it's amazing, and it can be overwhelming when you consider persons at home by themselves trying to care for themselves on a daily basis. So just think about all those types of things, okay? Successes for Hurricane Gustav observations, you want to improve coordination and cooperation at local, state, and federal resources. You want an orderly evacuation of significant numbers of the populace. You want an orderly reentry. And we did that. We did a pretty good job with that. And pre-registration and case management is critical to success. So if you have an idea what your population looks like, when you're conveying that to other individuals that are receiving them, then you do a good job all around. Okay? And opportunities. Inadequate pre-registration. Greater than 5,000 calls were received into the Movement Center of Assessment during Gustav evacuation. So we were down in the 311 call areas. We were upstairs still trying to call the residents in City Hall, just trying to make sure that we had contacted everybody. We didn't want to leave anybody out. Inappropriate assignments to transportation resources. Many patients were ineligible for mode of transport that they received. So we were critically looking at the list over and over and over. Can this person get on a Lyft bus with assistance? Will they go into the homes to retrieve these individuals? So you had a lot of considerations are taken into account. Insufficient medical support on Amtrak trains. That is very critical. Stops due to emergency occurred, delaying arrival at Memphis and return decreasing time for train evacuations. Okay, again, population of residents who needed medical resources, and you notice how it started to increase as more residents came back. All right, created a full-time emergency preparedness doctor to address the issues of and advocate for this population year-round in an all-hazard framework. And this is important, guys, because of the fact we have to prepare with some anticipatory guidance, if you will, because you don't want to wait until hurricane season to prepare for a hurricane. You want to really be ahead of the game and just consider all of your partners and even the persons you think the most minute, put them on the list. you know, so that we can get a full-rounded approach, okay? Case managed families on preparedness, evacuation, expectation, destination expectation. Begin a long-term study of the data for trends, qualitative, quantitative, and predictive information. Okay. Changing hurricane emergency plan coordination in its infancy and improving over time. We're going to encourage you as you plan for hurricanes or any type of evacuation, be it bioterrorists or whatever, make sure, again, that you have your pulse on the plan and make sure that you are flexible. Because one thing about hurricanes, they let you know a little bit about when they're coming, but when they accelerate, you have to move a little bit faster. And sometimes you have to throw out some things. We initially started out with armbands on everybody, and then at the point we just wanted basic information. Where do you live? You know, what's your medication? Just really, really, really quick. But just know that initially we asked a lot more questions. Okay, so lessons learned, well deeper, mean that you just need to, again, find out more about your clients and more complex, and the clients can be more complex than expected. Need to encourage calling in year round. Pre-assessments before hurricane season. Stabilize staff to continue process, educate partners. And closing real close, quickly, know your source of data, combine evacuator, evaluate a staff with complementary skills, streamline assessment process, improve appropriate assignments. And again, with streamlining assessment process, Dr. Cross has developed this this questionnaire that really involved a lot of content that we should get from our clients in order to assist them. And then that program wound up being 3 pages long and then one card to say, who are you? Where do you live? Da da da. Let's get you out of the city. Okay? Again, and more just relationships to the city assisted plan, persons who need medical resources, the general populace, lift bus, ambulance, change of plan. Okay? And more here so I can move through this one. All right, implementation of lessons learned from Hurricane Gustav for 2009. You want to combine and expand citizen contact information, 2006 through 2008 database. Your 311 call center is important. Involving your regional transit authority is important. It's really track team of callers, case managers. You had the New Orleans Health Department involved, nurses, environmental technician, administrative staff. Utilize connections of New Orleans Health Department with special programs to identify citizens with needs of assistance like persons with HIV/AIDS, healthcare for the homeless, Healthy Start, Steps to a Healthier Louisiana, all those programs that have some type of contact with people. You know, you want to make sure that you have where they're asking questions, do you have a plan in place? We started doing that. Are you prepared for the storm? Because really we like folks to get themselves out if they can, but the city will help them. All right, okay, so you wanna maintain critical partners into the process, Office of Emergency Preparedness, evacuateers.org, New Orleans Emergency Medical Services, Community Outreach, Metropolitan Human Service District, which is really your mental health folks. You want to continue registration year-round. Continue year-round case management of existing registrants to determine if need have changed. Citizens of concern, you want to make sure the citizens are still from last year who are registered are still living this year. And that's important because you want to be real sensitive about that when you're calling folks' homes. You know, especially if you had the aged who were maybe 86, 90 years old, et cetera. So be careful and be very sensitive about that. Secure, accurate electronic database for data storage, reporting, and downloading into dispatch modules for the Population Movement Center. Okay? Continue to grow relationships for those critical partners aware of eligible patients to integrate them into the process to assure continuation of care. So we're basically talking about your hospice folks, home health, agency, dialysis, oncology clients. And that's important too because when your dialysis clients are moving to other areas, they need to know where they can go directly. And that's very important. All right, so basically, we encourage you to plan, practice, communicate, and be flexible. Thank you very much.